You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Welcome to another episode of the New Churches Podcast. My name is Noah Oldham, and I'm so glad you're tuning in for this very important subject in the life of every new church. Today, we're taking on the subject that is central to the mission of every single new church. In fact, you could say that it's both the precursor and the ongoing mission of church planting. I'm talking about preaching to the lost. And to help us with this subject today, I have with me in the studio Pastor Adam Mutasib. Adam planted Redemption City Church in the city of Baltimore just about 6 years ago. He serves there as the pastor for preaching and vision. And alongside this role, Adam serves as the Send City Missionary with Send Network Baltimore. Adam has an MDiv from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, where he received the Joe B. Brown Preaching Award. Adam and his wife, Sherry, have three sons. Welcome to the New Churches Podcast, Adam.
Thanks for having me, Noah.
The Joe B. Brown Preaching Award.
I don't know how.
Let's
but
go.
The check came through.
I love it.
And they gave me the award.
I love it, dude. We know people who are listening to this, a lot of new church planters, preaching is such a big part of that. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to it, preaching is so much more multifaceted than we anticipate going in to church planting. We think, hey, if I could only have that job each and every week, I'd kill it. And then you have it every week, and it's much bigger. It's much deeper. Man, I know you well enough to know that you're an expositor. You're going to preach through books of the Bible. You're going to preach through sections of Scripture verse by verse. But when preaching to a group that you know includes lost people, or might even be predominantly lost people, are there particular topics or Bible passages that you tend to preach on or elements that you tend to include?
Usually I let the text honestly drive
the
content. This is what expository preaching is. It's to expose the meaning of the text. And I'll usually have lost people or unbelievers in mind and think, like, what is the lost person thinking when they read about slavery in Exodus?
Yeah.
Like, what? The Bible allows slavery? And I'll just interact with that.
Yeah.
Or we just went through 1 Timothy 2 as a church, and it says, talks about women submitting to their husbands, and women are safe through childbearing, that really confusing text.
Yeah.
What is the lost person thinking when they... So really, I'm just letting the text talk and then explaining it, and then always bringing it to Christ and what he did, not what we're supposed to do.
I love that. I love that. Backing up just a little bit, do you feel like you have lost people in your services each and every week? Do you think, in your experience, church planters in Baltimore or beyond, are they seeing lost people come to church right now in this day and age?
Yeah, definitely. Well, at the very least, nominal Christians.
Okay.
Like people who would, you know, maybe affiliate with Christianity but aren't Jesus and the Lord of their life, which we would call a non-Christian.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah, so each and every week, you're trying to make sure you're speaking to that demographic.
100%. And then the more you preach specifically to the atheist or the Hindu or the Muslim, these Christians, nominal or solid, bring their Hindu, Muslim, atheist friends.
Oh, dig into that a little bit, because I've actually heard somebody use a phrase along those lines. Preach to who you want to be there.
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about?
100%.
Flesh that out.
Keller talks about it in his preaching book.
Okay.
But yeah, even if like there's no Muslims in your gathering on a Sunday morning, if you interact with like Muslims believe you have to work your way to heaven, do more good than bad, but here's what the gospel says.
Mm.
Or interact with, hey, why do you guys trust a guy named Muhammad, who in the year 600 AD was like, God told me this is the truth and the Bible is wrong.
Mm.
Why do you trust that? Just those types of interactions, a Christian or even a nominal Christian will hear that and be like, man, I really wish my Muslim friend was here to hear that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bring him next time because my pastor keeps talking to Muslims.
Yeah.
And they'll actually bring who you address.
I love that. Mm. So just in people who are lost in general, if you got a core team and you're planting this church, you come to a city, begin to engage the city with the gospel. And for a little while, as you're preaching, there's nobody there that's not a Christian.
Yeah.
Everybody's saved. You're saying that intentionally preach like there are lost people in the room.
100%. And the older you get and the more you grow, the higher the ratio of lost people there will be. Mm. When you start as a core team, at least for us, it was mostly solid Christians.
Yeah.
Because we actually wanted mostly solid Christians, kind of set a culture for the church. And we would preach to who we wanted to come. And they came. And they got saved. Many of them did.
Okay. So you're preaching expositionally.
Yes.
You're letting the text form the sermon. Now, there's different opinions about, okay, if the text says this, this is all that we say, or other people say it should be Christ-centered, so you preach the text and make a beeline for the cross. But I also hear you talking about preaching and interacting with the lost.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, what are some of the ways that we can help listeners tune in, and how do you make any text evangelistic, any sermon Christ-centered and giving them an opportunity to respond?
Yeah, a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
I would start with kind of what you mentioned earlier, Christ. Like, you know, Charles Spurgeon has that quote, Christ isn't in your sermon, young man. Sit down until he is.
Yeah.
Christ will always be relevant to every single person, Christian or non-Christian.
Yeah.
Keller says the gospel is not the ABCs of the Christian faith, but the A to Z.
Mm.
It's so we need to evangelize as we preach and edify as we preach.
Yeah.
And the gospel will always be relevant, right?
Yeah.
Another thing, though, that's really practical in like urban environments, like Baltimore City where we are, where we have a lot of unbelieving millennials, excuse me, how often weave in cultural references.
Mm-hmm.
Keller in his preaching book talks about finding respected authorities in society like a Martin Luther King Jr.
Mm-hmm.
or Barack Obama and pointing out things they say and how, oh, actually, that's rooted in the Bible.
Yeah.
So you find universally respected figures and tie it to your text
or
even cultural figures, right? Like I'll say things like J. Cole has a song called Pride is the Devil. And that's actually the theme of our text in Proverbs this morning.
Yeah.
And an unbeliever would be like, oh.
Yeah.
That's super interesting.
Yeah.
Or you'll reference Taylor Swift or the Napoleon movie or just anything that will give people handles to God's word and it draws them in to hear the content of what you're saying.
I love that. I love that. Making those connections that people are going to get. You know, one of the things that I've noticed, I planted a church in an urban environment, urban St. Louis among WashU, St. Louis University, all these learned people. And what I found was that so many people that were nominally Christian or completely atheist, they actually knew a lot more about the Bible than a lot of Christians did.
Mm-hmm.
They had studied it. They thought they had defeated it. And I think what we forget is that Jesus gives us an example of this over and over again. Because he's speaking to religious Jews, we think, well, he's speaking to reached people, religious people, or even we might think saved people. But over and over again, we're seeing Jesus is giving this message of the gospel, the kingdom, the people who did not get it at all.
Mm-hmm.
They were lost. And the explanations and the illustrations and the parables he used grab a hold of that. And you're saying, do the exact same thing.
100%. And I think there's this modern myth in church growth and even in church planning where we think we need to step away from the Bible to really draw people to Christ or to get them engaged in Christianity. I just think that's a lie. I think people, when they show up to church, they want to know what the Bible says.
Yeah.
They want to know what Jesus says. Just show them its relevance to their problems or their questions or their fears or their doubts. Like, for example, if you are not a religious at all and I invited you to go to a mosque with me and the imam opened up the Quran and started teaching from the Quran, you wouldn't be like, this stinks.
Yeah.
You want to know what the Quran says if you're going
says.
To a mosque.
Yeah.
You just want it to be interesting and relevant.
Yeah.
When non-Christians come to our gathering, they're kind of expecting you to talk about the Bible and to teach it.
Yeah.
Like, verse by verse doesn't scare anyone off as long as you're communicating in a way someone can grasp and addressing their life.
All right, so we'll dig deeper on this because people are going to have this question.
Yeah.
It comes down to methodology. It comes down to culture maybe. But I remember there was an entire season of life in the church growth movement and church planting over the last 15, 20 years where you would turn on and watch somebody's YouTube service and they're starting off with a pop song from the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And then the entire sermon series is language that's not in the Bible at all. And the sermon is 30 minutes, 25 of it is talk about life and culture, and maybe 5 minutes ties it to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're talking about, we're shooting for?
Yeah, I think it's related. Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to dogmatically say you can't have a topical sermon or engage culture and then go to the Bible from there. I just think the meat and potatoes of what we communicate should be God's word. I mean, let's think about God wrote a book.
Yeah.
I think he probably has set the agenda of what we should talk about.
It's good.
So let's teach what his book says.
Yeah.
Point to Christ. And every now and then, I like to say we can go out to eat.
Yeah.
And do a topical sermon on some random topic.
That's good.
But we try and stick to the word.
Let's go out to eat and do that. I love that.
Yeah.
You're talking about the Apostle Paul modeled this for us, Acts 17 in Mars Hill. He's quoting things he sees in the city and their own writers.
Mm-hmm.
And then even in the book of Titus, he says, you know, one of your own Cretans even says,
that's right,
grabbing a hold of it, using it to apply God's truth to them.
I quote those often when it comes to contextualization, but also in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's either 12 or 14, where Paul says, when an unbeliever comes to your gathering, make sure it makes sense to them.
Yeah.
So that they will fall on their face and worship God and repent. And so we want to have gatherings where we assume an unbeliever is going to come and they're going to be able to understand. That's why Paul says, don't speak in tongues without translation
Yeah.
So we need to have sermons where an unbeliever comes and they're like, oh, this makes sense. And they fall on their face and worship God.
Okay, to that point.
Yeah.
So you're preaching the gospel to lost people, but the sermon isn't the only thing that happens. How long is your average service?
Hour and a half.
Hour and a half. Ours too. Hour and a half, 80, 90 minutes. I bet you preach probably 40, 45 minutes of that.
I'm pushing it right now. It's like 50, 55.
Okay. Hey, man, and you're growing too, so hey, it's working.
Yeah.
It's working. So a little more than half potentially is what that is. But the rest of that time, you're doing other things. You're singing songs. Maybe you're taking communion.
Every week.
You're having prayer time.
Yeah.
How do we make sure that all the elements that we're using to, we would say, adorn the gospel— if we're not directly proclaiming it, how do we make sure that they communicate the truth of the gospel to lost people, that they get it? What's some tips you would give?
Yeah, well, we do things weekly, like communion every week. We do a creed, the Apostles' Creed. We recite it every week.
Yeah.
Obviously, we sing every week.
Mm-hmm.
We do an offering every week. Mm-hmm. We do baptisms regularly. So in those things, we always communicate why we do them, mm-hmm. assuming lost people are in the room.
Okay.
So when we do the creed, we'll be like, hey, this is some of the historic essential truths of the Christian faith.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a Christian, would you recite these with us? And we
mm-hmm.
say it out loud together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's evangelistic because that way someone who's new is like, oh, so this is what they believe. Christ, resurrection of the dead, and Holy Spirit, church, all that.
Yeah.
In communion, we tell people, hey, if you're not a Christian, this isn't for you. Because this is a symbol for Christians to say we're united with Christ. And that's evangelistic in a sense because it creates an altar call in a sense or a decision point where, am I a Christian or not? I guess I'm not, so I won't take communion.
Yeah.
Those types of things are evangelistic on their own, and they're prescribed to us in the Scripture, specifically communion.
Yeah.
So those things have worked really well.
That's really awesome, and I love the intentionality you guys take behind that. I had a chance to be on your website over this last week, just preparing to be on the podcast with you and checking things out, and I noticed that like the favorite word on your church's website is the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
It's all over the place. It's in all your language. So if you are a non-Christian or even a nominal believer and you show up, you're going to be bombarded with it, but not just the word. Like you're in a bookstore and it's now the big talking point. It is the substance of everything as well. I think it's really helpful. Is there an area in proclaiming the gospel, you would say maybe there's weaker, like we could raise the bar across the board in church planting to make sure the substance matches the style, that it's not just gospel-centered this, but that we're actually doing that.
Well, the gospel or evangelism, the root word of evangelism is evangel, which means good news.
Yeah.
So make sure that when I come to your service or somebody were to come to your service, it feels like it's good news.
Mm.
So you're proclaiming not something they need to do, but news of good news of something that's already been done. So are you proclaiming the it is finished of this text?
That's good.
So I always say, this is what the text says. This is how I fail. This is how we fail. This is how Christ fulfilled. Throw yourself on Christ's mercy, receive it, and be changed to do this by Christ's power.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can often communicate, this is what the text tells us to do, and go do it.
It's moralism, yeah.
Yes, that's Islam.
Yeah.
That's not Christianity.
Wow.
So I just want to implore church planters, especially within Send Network, make sure you're proclaiming what Jesus did.
That's good.
How that's evangelical, how that's good news to the soul.
Yeah.
And let people just rest in his work, and that will actually change them and allow them to do what the text says.
Oh, man, I love that. That's great. hey, beyond Sunday, because church is so much more. What we're doing in church planting is so much more than just the gathering that happens. We gather, then we scatter. Beyond Sunday, what are our effective methods and strategies for reaching out to those who are not familiar with Christianity? How can you prepare your church members to continue that evangelistic conversation with guests and non-believers outside of the sermon?
Totally. Well, I think philosophically, my position would be that the Sunday gathering is primarily for believers. Mm-hmm. Hebrews says, like, don't neglect meeting together. So I would say that that Sunday gathering is to edify the saints, but mm-hmm. also should be welcoming to unbelievers, right? So
yeah.
primarily on Sunday, I'm encouraging the saints, but assuming lost people are there.
Mm-hmm.
And philosophically, we believe that our people should be on mission every day of the week out in the city. The way we say it at RC Redemption City Church is we're ordinary people doing ordinary things with gospel intentionality.
Mm-hmm.
And so come on Sunday, bring your lost friends. You're going to hear the gospel. They're going to hear the gospel. But when you're going to the basketball court to play basketball, do it with gospel intentionality. When you're going to work, do it with gospel intentionality. Look at what's already in your calendar and infuse gospel intentionality into that.
Mm-hmm.
How can I invite someone to RCC with what I'm already doing? Or how can I speak the gospel into somebody's life through what I'm already doing? So that's kind of our missional emphasis. And those organic relationships that people have throughout the city have often led to incredible connection points to bring them into the life of our church, where they're then introduced to the good news of Jesus Christ. And they're changed, not just by the messages, but by the people. And that's really worked well.
Yeah, so you guys are about 6 years old now as a church?
Yes, yeah.
You know, it may have taken a little longer than 6 years for us, but I began to notice as people were part of our church for the long haul and they sat under a style of preaching week in and week out that engaged the text and then got it to the gospel, they were learning not only how to receive a sermon, they were learning how to explain the gospel to other people.
I preach in that way to
ask and answer questions. Like I'm going through just studying. I like to present it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I can tell anybody, you can sit under the text, have a conversation with a friend, and apply it the exact same way. And they learn to do that.
That's actually a really good point. And another good reason why you should address unbelievers in your sermons, because the people in the pulpit are learning how to interact with the questions of a non-Christian by hearing you explain it.
Yeah.
And they can take that and apply it to their life when they interact with unbelievers.
That's really good. What tie is there, if any, from your sermon to group life throughout the week?
The gospel communities that we call them, they do sermon questions. So somebody in our church writes, she's a writer, she writes questions based on the sermon, and then the people in the gospel community interact and discuss and apply.
Yeah. So they're taking that, they're growing deeper, and then as they're living on mission, this thing has permeated them on Sunday, midweek, and hopefully it's deep down in their soul, and they're now having those conversations throughout the week.
Correct. And it's all, we do verse by verse, book by book. We're going through Exodus right now, so you're going to have a really good grasp of the book of Exodus and how it points to Jesus as the hero of the scriptures.
Man.
If you spend, 4 months with us.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Now, one of the challenges we can have is in church planting is where do we find lost people? How do we connect with them when we do? It's that cultural exegesis. It's just making those connections like a missionary. What are some of those challenges in identifying and connecting with the lost? And how can a church work to overcome those without becoming what we don't want to become?
Yeah, some challenges are we're becoming an increasingly secular society. So when I found that when people come to a church service, they have no context of the Bible.
Mm.
They don't know who Moses is. They don't know what the Exodus is. So I used to preach with some assumed inherent knowledge based on of course, what the Exodus is.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Bob Marley has an album called Exodus. Like you probably know but I've had to realize I gotta explain a lot more than I realized. That's been a challenge for people to understand and grasp each individual text or biblical story.
Mm-hmm.
There's especially in urban environments, there's a hesitancy to go to a church because that's a hate group.
Mm.
They have an anti-LGBT agenda. They're not for the flourishing of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
They're bigoted and biased.
Yeah.
So that can be a difficult challenge to overcome, to get people over that barrier to actually come and do life with us.
Yeah.
And you got to overdo it in the kindness and love and grace and gentleness in which you preach the word.
Yeah.
And we've seen really, really lost people come to our gathering and stay.
Yeah.
And many of whom are not Christians yet, but they keep coming.
Yeah.
Because of that culture of kindness and love. And we explain the Bible, and we explain, hey, we disagree with your lifestyle, but we love you.
Yeah.
And you're welcome here. That covers a lot of ills.
Yeah. Let's dig deeper a little bit there. What do you think that is? Because that really, I believe, is the name of the game when it comes to preaching to the lost. Like, how do you give them enough to be saved, to repent of their sin, believe the good news, and be saved. But also that thin line between their hearts are already hard towards this message mm-hmm. that tells them that they are condemned without a Savior. What do you think the secret sauce is there? Like how have you seen that? We've seen it too. Mm-hmm. How have you seen that, and what would you attribute it to?
I think one thing is, do you have like the Jesus drip on you? You know, there's like something unique, Holy Spirit about you that mm-hmm. draws people to you, even people that they know you disagree with their lifestyle. I think there's something real there. And that mm-hmm. only comes from, you know, prayer. It only comes from God. So you have to have a really close intimacy with Jesus that really just overflows in the rhythms of your life. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to these hot topic issues like, say, homosexuality or smoking weed or whatever it is, right, mm-hmm. transgender issues, I always – this is my go-to question that's really worked well with lost people is if you knew for a fact that what you did, like your lifestyle, was a sin and God didn't want you to do it, would you stop? Mm-hmm. And people's answer to that reveals a lot.
That's profound.
Because – if they say, yes, I would stop, mm-hmm. that tells me they're mm-hmm. really surrendered to what God wants out of their life. Mm-hmm. And I just got to do the work of teaching them the Bible's authoritative and it's worth. But most lost people would say, no, I wouldn't stop a gay lifestyle.
Yeah.
Or I wouldn't stop drinking. Or I wouldn't, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that tells me right away, okay, well, then you're the Lord of your life, not Jesus. And it's those types of questions that really get lost people thinking. Mm-hmm. And even though they disagree or might be offended or singed a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They want to come back. They want to be challenged. It's weird.
It's good, man.
So that's worked.
It reminds me of the rich young ruler. Hey, what must I do?
Yeah.
And Jesus just tells him what, and he goes away sad. So I told people we like to preach the gospel and welcome all people and to hear that. And we've never had to ask somebody to leave. Mm-hmm. Let me rephrase that. We never had to ask somebody who was not a hyper religious person wanting us to do things their specific way to leave. People who are walking in disobedience to God's word, they continue to stay and they eventually may opt out and to mm-hmm. say, and what they've always said in some version of, I realize that Jesus is asking more of me than I can give, which is everything.
Yep.
Everything. And I love that about your church. I love that you're doing that. Adam, you've been preaching now at least, you know, in this context for 6 years. There are a lot of brand new preachers. Mm-hmm. Hungry to get in the pulpit week after week and hungry for lost people. They got into this, really. Let's be honest. Most got into this, not because they wanted an opportunity to preach or to lead and that guy's not as good as me. They really have a genuine desire to reach lost people and preach the gospel. What is one last thing you would just say, hey, here's an encouragement, here's a challenge to those listeners?
When you start, you're going to stink. Keller's preaching book says, I think it's your first like 200 or 300 sermons are horrible. So just, it's not going to be good. But one thing you can do is be real. And there's something palpable. There's something incredible. There's something attractive about somebody who stands on a stage and says, here's what the Bible says. And here's how I struggle. Here's where I failed. Here's where I need God's help. And here's how the gospel is changing me. If you can honestly just bare your soul to people and apply the text to your life and the good news to your life, I'm telling you, that is the start of an amazing sermon. And the intelligence and the cultural exegesis and all that stuff will come.
Yeah.
But if you're just a new preacher, just stand before people that you genuinely love. Tell them, this is what the Bible says. Here's, like, I'm a sinner. And here's what Jesus did for me. His righteousness is given to me. Can you believe that? I would sit under a first-time preacher if that was their soul.
Yeah.
Because that I need that news every day.
That's good.
If you can start there, you will grow and grow in impact from there.
That's gold. Thanks, Adam. Yep. And thank you all for listening to the New Churches podcast. Until next time, remember, we are not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation for all who believe. Go preach it. Go share it. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the New Churches podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, Visit newchurches.com.